looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central Podcast, making theology central.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Sunday, November the 28th, 2021. It is currently 3:34 p.m. Central Time, and I'm coming to you live from the empty sanctuary of Victory Baptist Church, located right here in Ovalle, Texas. And we've got a lot to do this afternoon. Hopefully you will be here for all of the live broadcast, but let's not worry about the live broadcast that hasn't occurred yet. Let's worry about the one right now that you're listening to, if you're listening live. And if you're listening live, please feel free to participate in the live chat. If you're using the Spreaker app, I would love to get your thoughts and opinions on some of this because, well, my perspective, I feel almost bad for my perspective. I almost feel bad because clearly I'm missing something. Clearly, I don't get it. Clearly, I don't understand it. I'm trying to figure it out, but I'm going to turn on this microphone, tell you what's going on. I'm going to be very open and transparent and honest with my perspective, and I'm going to acknowledge that maybe I just don't get it. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe you can tell me what you think, and we're going to read an article where they try to offer their explanation to what's going on, and we'll see by the time we're done if we've put together an episode that's worthwhile, that's worth your time, and gets you to really think, and I don't know, hopefully we can accomplish something. Does that make sense? I think it makes sense. Now, over and over and over again, I receive emails asking me one very important question. Have you watched The Chosen? Have you watched The Chosen? What do you think? Have you watched The Chosen TV series? What do you think about it? Here's the link to the app. Watch it. Tell me what you think. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen The Chosen? I can't even tell you how many times I get an email asking me, have you seen it? It's amazing. You've got to watch it. You need to stop what you're doing. You need to make time. Watch The Chosen. It's great. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. I can't even tell you how many emails I've received asking me that question. And I always feel bad because when I respond, I can say, well, I've watched a little bit of it, but clearly I don't have the same enthusiasm that everyone else has. Now, maybe for some weird reason, you've been off planet and you've just returned and you have no idea what The Chosen TV series is. You have nothing, you don't know anything about it. Let me just give you a basic description. The Chosen is a television drama based on the life of Jesus of Nazareth, created, directed, and co-written by American filmmaker Dallas Jenkins. It is the first multi-season series about the life of Jesus, and season one was the top crowd-funded TV series or film project of all time. So how can I explain this? The Chosen TV series has raised millions upon millions upon millions of dollars by people giving money to help make, to help get it made. And people have watched it and watched it and watched it. And now The Chosen Christmas episode, The Chosen Christmas special is coming to theaters near you on December the 1st. And let's just say the tickets are selling at an absolutely crazy rate, and a lot of people now are taking notice going, what is going on with this show, The Chosen? Now, I've just got to be very open and honest with you. When I get emails saying, hey, have you seen The Chosen? Have you seen The Chosen? I know I shouldn't think this way, but I'm just going to be honest. I kind of want to respond and say, it's a TV series on the life of Christ, right? I've read the story hundreds of times, right? Like, it's almost like the email is like, hey, you've got to see this. It's this brand new thing. It's the most amazing thing. You've got to see it. And I want to say it can't be that new or amazing, because if it's coming from the Bible, I've already read it. I've studied it. I've preached it. I've gone to school to learn it. And but everyone's acting like it's you've got to see it. Like, okay, I know we've got the Bible, but you've got to see the Chosen TV series. And maybe I shouldn't think this way, but there's a part of me that says, wait, what happened here? So like the Bible got boring, so we need a TV series? Because but everyone seems to basically preach almost an evangelistic fervor that I know we have the Bible, but this makes the Bible come alive. This makes it more real. This is amazing. I cried. I laughed. And they talk about their emotional response to it. And then I have to stop and ask myself, well, wait a minute. Is this just the Bible, or is it taking things from the Bible and then creating this moving TV show that, and just wait for what I'm about to say. I know some of you are great fans of it. Don't get offended. I'm just trying to be very open and transparent with my feelings and my thoughts here, okay? I'm not trying to make any condemnation, but there's a part of me going, okay, wait a minute. It's so amazing. It's so awesome. You cried. You laughed. It's the greatest thing ever. Did they just take the story from the Bible, or how much did they add to it? What did they subtract from it? Now, if they added to it for dramatic effect, for storytelling purposes, to make the narrative really work, it does that then create something that's not actually biblical, and what you're getting excited about, what you're getting, having an emotional response to, is really not the Bible. It's something taking things from in the Bible and then creating something that's actually different from it. In other words, could this almost become a Bible replacement? I'm not saying that's what's happening. Others could argue, no. People will watch this and it will drive them to the Bible. There's always that possibility. Now, I remember, you may remember, when Mel Gibson put out The Passion of the Christ. Oh man, theaters were packed. Everybody was talking about it. People were talking how emotional they were. They were crying. There wasn't a dry eye in the theater. And you know, this was it. This was going to be a revival, and everyone was going to start reading the Bible and studying the Bible. And then there were, like, you know, Passion of the Christ study guides, and there was all the marketing that went behind, you know, went with it, and everybody moved on. It was emotional. Did it drive? Now, I'm not saying that there aren't. Obviously, there's people out there who it may have had a profound impact, drove them to the scriptures, drove them to Christ. I'm not saying that that's not the case. Just sometimes when these things become like, this is it, this is it, it sometimes the hype overshadows the reality. And I'm just trying to figure out why are so many people drawn to this? So here is the news story. And I want you to hear this, all right? Here is the news story. This was published November the 27th at 11:27 a.m. Here is the headline. Theater release for the Chosen Christmas special breaks records. A new Christmas special of The Chosen will hit theaters on December the 1st, delighting millions of fans eagerly awaiting the show's third season. So they're going to have a third season. Millions of fans are eagerly waiting. They cannot wait to see the third season. They cannot wait. And now they get to go to the theater to watch the Christmas special. Now, again, maybe I'm a little cynical. Maybe I shouldn't think this way, but I'm like, you do realize you don't have to wait until the third season, right? You do realize you can just pick up a Bible and you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You do realize that. Now, I know that that's not how necessarily it's supposed to come across, but it just seems weird. Like, I cannot wait till the third season. I got to see how this story ends. I got to see. And it's like, it's right here. It's right here. But people are having a very deep emotional connection to this. And I'm not in any way trying to minimize your emotional connection to it. I'm not in any way trying to minimize your enjoyment of it. I'm just trying, maybe I'm looking at it too much from a theological perspective, but I do have to ask a very important theological question. How much can you add to? How much can you take away from the biblical narrative and you end up with something that really isn't the Bible. It's something other. Like, how much liberty, let me ask this question. How much liberty do we have when turning the Bible into a TV series or into a movie or into a novel? Like, how much liberty do we have? Do we have to stay with the text, or can we add interesting characters? Can we add things to it? Like, how far can we go? Can we add characters that may not even show up on the pages of the Bible? Are we allowed to do that? There's a generation of teenagers who probably go to church who are probably being shown this, like, hey, all right, young people, this Sunday or this Sunday night or this Saturday night, we're going to get together and watch The Chosen. I wonder, like, what they're going to think about that experience when they're grownups, when they're 20, 30. Are they going to look back going, that was an amazing, or are they going to look back going, man, that was, like, I wonder how history will look back on this cultural phenomenon that's going on right now. But here's some information here. A new Christmas special of The Chosen will hit theaters on December the 1st, delighting millions of fans eagerly awaiting the show's third season. The special will tell, I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice there temporarily. The special will tell the story of Jesus' birth through the eyes of Mary and Joseph, and will also feature performances by Christian artists, and they name a number of Christian artists that you may be familiar with. So we're going to have music. So obviously, it's going to be, you know, very dramatized. We're going to have music. We're going to have all the things to get that emotional reaction. All right. I'm not trying to condemn. I'm just trying to make sure we realize what's happening here and asking ourselves, how much liberty do we have here? And when does it become, when do we cross that line? When do we cross that line? The Chosen is a television series about the life of Jesus and his disciples, which has become a global phenomenon since its release in 2019. The series has garnered more than 300 million views in over 190 countries. Over 300 million views. Those are staggering numbers. Look, there's no way you can deny its success. There's no way. There's no way you can deny its success. There's no way you can deny the emotional impact it's had on many people. There's no way you can deny the passion and zeal many people have for it. I mean, I get emails like, have you seen it? You really need to watch it. You really need to watch it. And again, I have to just say, do you think I don't know the story? Like you really need to see it, almost as like it's something brand new. And I'm like, I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Like, what am I going to get from that I'm not going to get from the Word of God? Now, I'm not saying that my attitude is right. Please hear me out. I'm just trying to be honest with you, right? I'm looking at it like, okay, it's like, hey, you've got to read the Gospel of Matthew. It's brand new. Okay, no, I've read it. Oh, okay, I didn't know you've read it. Okay, but it's like, no, you may have read the Gospel of Matthew. I know you know the Bible. I know you teach the Bible, but you've got to see The Chosen. Then you'll really see the Bible. I'm like, I don't know if I need anything on top of it, but maybe there's some benefits from it. I'm not denying that. I'm just, again, it's just interesting. Those numbers are staggering. Though The Chosen is available free through The Chosen app, this is very important. If you would like to see it, download The Chosen app. You can find it anywhere on all of your app stores. Let me just look really quick here. I had it loaded on my iPad at one time because I was watching some of it because I kept getting so many emails. But then I knew that if I watched it and I had any criticism of it, I was immediately then just going to make people mad. So I'm like, this is a no-win situation. If I watch it and like it, great. But then if I put forth that I like it, then other people who hate it are going to get upset. And if I put forth any criticism, the people who love it. So like, I'm like, this is really a no-win situation. I'm just going to move on with my life because I have the Bible and it's not like I'm missing anything. But here we go. So if you type in The Chosen, if you just type in The Chosen, you will see it right here. The Chosen, stream the series. The Chosen, stream the series, and you can start watching it. And there you go. So I would challenge you to download it. I would challenge you to download it. I mean this as sincerely as I can. Download the app and watch it. Download the app. Now, I don't really want to watch it on an app. I can send it to my Apple TV and watch it on my Apple TV. That would be far more pleasant to me. I don't like watching things on my, especially anything that's TV, movie related. I want it on a big screen. It looks nice. But you can, however you want to view it, I would challenge you to watch it just so that you're aware of what everyone's talking about. And you can draw your own conclusions. Don't listen to me. Now, I do think you should consider some of my theological concerns, like how much liberty do we have with the story? What can we do with it before maybe we're guilty of something? I mean, remember, the one thing we believe about the Bible is we believe the Bible is different than any other book. Okay, let me give you an example. For some people, they get very, 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 very upset when they have a favorite book and they go watch the movie and the movie deviates from the book or leaves something out. They get really mad. They're like, how dare they? This book was perfect. And I'm always like, I don't understand that. Like if there's a famous book, right, a famous novel, and I go watch the movie, I don't care if they deviate from the novel. If I want the novel, I'll read the novel. I don't care what they do with it on them. I don't care if they deviate, change the story. I don't get upset at all because it's a novel. Who cares if they change it? Who cares if the director wants to go with a different interpretation? I don't care because if I want the novel, I'll read the novel. Why am I going to the theater to watch the novel that I've already read? I already know the story. I already know the characters. I know the plot twist. I know it. So if I go, I'm looking for maybe some kind of unique twist, something different. Some people are like, no, I just want the book put on screen exactly as it is. And I want to have the same emotional reaction as I had with the book. And it's like, well, okay, fine. But there are some people very picky about that. Now, as Christians, should we be that picky about anyone who takes the Bible and makes it into a movie or a TV series? Should we demand strict adherence to it? And if we do strict adherence to what we find in the Bible, does it really translate into a good TV series or movie? So if it all of a sudden someone has taken the Bible and it translates into something that millions and millions of people are watching and loving and having an emotional response to it, is it because they strictly adhered to the text or because they did a lot of deviation adding, but people don't seem to mind? You draw your own conclusion. So it's been viewed more than 300, it's garnered more than 300 million views over 190 countries. The Chosen is available free through the Chosen app. Christmas with the Chosen, The Messengers, is a direct-to-theater episode that will have a 10-day run. After that, the special will be available to stream on the Chosen app. The Christmas special was shot entirely in secret and marks the first time the crowd-funded show will be seen in cinemas. The special had $1.5 million in sales in the very first 12 hours. So it hasn't even gotten to theaters yet. The tickets go on sale for basically a pre-sale, and they do $1.5 million in sales in 12 hours. This shatters Fathom Events pre-sale records and prompting the distributor to add more than 450 additional viewing locations to help meet the demand. I mean, this has turned into a cultural phenomenon. Now, it's like, well, are people reading and studying the Bible? No, but they're watching The Chosen, okay? They're watching The Chosen. And you know, you can almost guarantee we're going to have more merchandise coming, more tie-in merchandise coming from the Christian publishing world, where they're going to have The Chosen Study Bible, The Chosen this, The Chosen that. You know all of that's coming. And again, there may be good that comes from all of it. I'm not in any way trying to downplay it. I'm just a little baffled by its absolute mind-blowing success at this point. According to the director and creator Dallas Jenkins. The series was based on a short film he produced for a Christmas Eve service at Harvest Bible Chapel before resigning in 2017 from the church's executive leadership team. That's where it all started, as a short film, and then it turned into this, and then, you know, the fundraising, and they made, to show you how much money they've brought in, season three, which is set to begin filming in March, has a budget of $18 million, up from $12 million for season two. So they got a budget of $18 million. And again, I want to make sure you understand, they're raising the money through crowdfunding. I mean, that means people are like, here, take my money, make this TV show about Jesus. Here, take my money, make a show about Jesus. Here, take my money. And they're opening their wallets. So, I mean, that's dedication. People are sacrificing their hard-earned money so a TV series can be made about Jesus, which is becoming a cultural phenomenon. And millions of people are watching. And on December the 1st, when it hits theaters, a lot of people are showing up and they're selling tickets like crazy. How do we process this? How do we understand this? So when I saw this news article, let me state some of my theological concerns again. How much liberty do we have to take the scriptures and turn them into something other? Like, how far can you move away from the text? How much can you add the text until you've basically committed some kind of, I'm going to even throw it out there. How far can you go from the text before you enter into something that would basically be sinful? That would basically be like you're mishandling and abusing God's word. How much artistic freedom do you have? I mean, this is the same kind of question you can ask about when it comes to, say, a paraphrase of the Bible. How much liberty does someone have to create a paraphrase of the scriptures? We would clearly say, hey, that's not a Bible. That's a paraphrase. That's basically a commentary. Don't understand that to be a Bible. Don't view that as a Bible. All right, so do we see The Chosen as simply a paraphrase put on film? If we view it that way, do we give it a little bit more liberty? Do we give it a little bit more license and we're not so critical of it? I don't know. So I was just doing some searching, trying to go, you know, what in the world is going on? And I came across this. Four reasons why The Chosen works. Four reasons why The Chosen works. So here's someone trying to figure out, okay, why is this becoming so popular? Why does this work? Here's what they say. I was skeptical of The Chosen when I first started hearing buzz about it. The artistic track record for biblical movies and TV is notoriously bad after all. And yet, to my surprise and delight, the show, the first ever multi-season series about the life of Christ, is actually good, quiet. Good. All right. So here's someone who is skeptical. They start watching, like, hey, this is actually good. This is actually quite good. This is actually decent. Now, what makes it good though? What makes it good? That's what they decide to look into. They go through some of the crowdfunding and how much money they brought in. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. They raised more than $10 million in equity crowdfunding. I mean, that's just from the initial investors. I mean, the amount of money they brought in
of all the different social issues that the world is facing, we got the church raising millions and millions and millions of dollars. Again, just the initial was $10 million to make a TV series about Jesus. I'm not saying it's wrong. You could argue, what about all the other issues going on, right? I don't know. Is it wrong to raise $10 million to make a TV series about Jesus? Of all the things the church needs to do, you could say it's a part of evangelism. It's a part of the Great Commission. You could make an argument there. I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate here, trying to understand everything about this. So here's what they have to say. What works so well about the series? How does The Chosen avoid so many of the pitfalls that make familiar efforts in the genre so cringeworthy?
Here are four reasons the series is a breath of fresh air for audiences looking for a better quality biblical narrative on screen. Now, again, how many Christians are looking for a biblical narrative on screen? Is there a big need in the church? Like, I need a biblical narrative on screen. To me, I just need to spend more time with the biblical narrative found in the Bible. But I guess, again, maybe I'm looking at it from too much of a theological perspective. I'm just being honest with you. I'm struggling, like, hey, you got to see The Chosen. You got to see The Chosen. Almost like I've never heard of the story before. And I'm like, I know the story of Jesus. I know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I know it. It's just so weird the way people approach this. But okay, what makes it supposedly so good? Here's number one. Compelling characters. Now, this made me stop and go, compelling characters. All right. Here we go. According to this author, for me, not me speaking to you, but me, the person writing this article, his name is Brett McCracken. This is the person who wrote this article. He says, the most disappointing thing about many Bible films and series is that the characters are sadly unlikable, one-dimensional, underdeveloped, boring, or lacking complexity. Now, we got to stop right here and start thinking. Now, wait a minute. Why is it that many shows that try to bring the Bible to life, the characters are unlikable, one-dimensional, underdeveloped, boring, and lacking complexity? Why do you think that could be? Could it possibly be that when you read the Bible and people are introduced, that's how they're presented? The biblical narrative doesn't say, okay, here we go, you know, open scene, here is character, name the character, and now what we're going to do is we're going to do flashbacks showing you we're going to make this character not one-dimensional. We're not going to underdevelop this character. We're going to show you their origin. We're going to show you their what drives them. We're going to do all. No, the Bible does not do that. It's like, here is the person, and here's what they said. Next, it doesn't spend a lot of time trying to get into what motivates them and their background and how they were raised and did they have issues with their mom or dad and did they have a rough childhood? Were they bullied as a kid? It doesn't do a lot of developing of that. So you could say that the characters are maybe boring and lack complexity. But according to them, The Chosen is different. Here, the characters are more than just pawns in service of the plot. They are people with complex backgrounds, quirks, faults, and imagine this, humanity. Now, here's the question. When they start adding all of these quirks and all of these personalities to these characters, do they go too far? And do they make us start interpreting these characters not from the pages of Scripture, but from the mind of the director, the producers, and the writers of The Chosen? Now, see, this could be a theological concern. Like, if I'm watching this show about these biblical characters, and I start viewing these biblical characters now from the lens of The Chosen versus the page of Scripture, and now I bring that to the pages of Scripture and read that into the characters as I find in the Bible, that could be damaging and dangerous, because I am to understand the characters mentioned in the Bible based off what the Bible tells me about them. I got to be very careful going, oh, well, this TV series showed me this about the character. I got to be very careful with that. I'm not saying that they go too far. I'm just saying it's something you have to be on the lookout for and something you'll have to look for yourself. They say, refreshingly, the actors also look the part. They look the part of Mediterranean, coming from the ethnical background, the ethnicity, there we go, the ethnicity. So it looks like they have the correct ethnicity and attempt to speak with appropriate accents. So they say they look the part of Mediterranean ethnicity and attempt to speak with appropriate accents. So they say that's good. All right, there's nothing wrong with that.
They seem to have the right ethnicity. They seem to speak with correct accents, giving it a sense of being authentic. I was trying to put too many words together there. Ethnicity, authentic, right? Authenticity, yeah. I was trying to put all of these words together. But that's good. It's good that the show is trying to be authentic, representing the correct ethnicity. Those are all good things. That is refreshing. That is awesome. My concern is when you start talking about, well, these characters, they start adding all of these, where are they getting these concepts from? What is giving them the license to impose some of these things on these characters? Again, you can draw your own conclusion. They go on to say here, though there are some exceptions, I find the villainous Quintus a bit cartoonish. Now, Quintus, who is Quintus? Is he mentioned in the Bible? Now, there's some discussion about who this Quintus could be. I did find this interesting. Where was it? Although Quintus is not named in the Bible, his name means, and there's some that try to argue where this character could be derived from. I found this very interesting thing here. Where was it? Someone said this, circling back to my series exploring how Vid Angels the Chosen adapts biblical characters from the Gospels. I wanted to take a moment to look at how this popular Bible show depicts its Roman characters. In particular, we'll be looking at the two Romans who get real character development. Quintus, one of the show's main villains. So then they go in and talked about this character. Now, you could argue, who is Quintus? Okay, where are they taking this character from? It doesn't even matter. If they add someone who's not in the Bible, is that perfectly okay? Because you can say, well, he's not mentioned in the Bible, but this is an office that would have been held in Rome. This would have been one of the people in leadership. So we're just going to say this is the person who held that position, and this is what they did and what they said. Again, now, how far do you deviate from the scriptures? Now, some acquaint this Quintus with some things in the Bible. I'm not going to go through and explore everything about Quintus, but they say that this is the one character that's a little cartoonish, but you can draw your own conclusions there. They said, most of the time, the Chosen's characters are interesting and relatable. It's compelling to watch their lives transform as the seasons progress, from Simon Peter and other disciples to Nicodemus, and especially Mary Magdalene, who moved me to tears in the second episode when she recounted her conversion to a skeptical Nicodemus. And I quote, here's what I can tell you. I was one way, and now I'm completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him. Now, we stop right here. Oh, that's beautiful. That's amazing. It brought me to tears. Is that from the Bible? Does it matter if it's not from the Bible? Is that what was said? Now, how far can you deviate? What can be said? What can't be said? So there's the first thing, compelling character. So the question would be, how far can you go in developing characters that are taken from Scripture, and you add and put words in their mouth and add things that may explain what they're doing and why they're doing it, but the Bible never explains it or demonstrates that way? Is it dangerous that now you are getting this idea about these characters from the Bible from a TV show and you're going to read it back into the Bible? Is that a dangerous thing? Should we be concerned? What do we do when they add characters that may not even be found on the pages of the Bible? Is that okay? Is that okay? Those are questions we have to ask. Next, they say real emotion. Part of why the Chosen's characters are compelling is that they embody real emotion. They aren't flannel graph cutouts made to regurgitate scripture verse by verse. See, they're not there to just regurgitate scripture verse by verse. That's not what they're there to do. Now, you may say, well, that's great. It makes a great TV show. Yes. But now they're even acknowledging that one of the things that make it so good is it's not there just to go verse by verse or to repeat scripture. It's to go beyond that. how far can you go? You'll have to answer the question yourself. They are humans. In the show, Simon Peter is a bit of a knucklehead. Matthew is on the autism spectrum. Andrew is a bad dancer. Jesus has a good sense of humor. The laughs and cries of these characters are believable with help from a team of expert consultants. Now, I want you to know, so you're going to say that, so that Peter was a knucklehead and that Matthew is on the autism spectrum? Now, come on now. And that one was a bad dancer? And I don't care what experts they bring in. They can bring in all the experts they want, right? They brought in New Testament scholar Doug Huffman. Okay, they bring in this New Testament scholar. Okay, fine. Bring in the New Testament scholar. Now show me in the New Testament how you arrived at that conclusion. And for you to demonstrate what you believe to be true of these individuals, how far did you have to deviate from the actual words of Scripture to try to then prove that this is how we should understand these individuals? Because here's what's happening. Whether you like it or not, you're watching this, and now that's how you're going to see Simon Peter that way. You're going to see Andrew that way. You're going to see Matthew that way. And you're seeing it not from you're not deriving it from the words of Scripture. You're deriving it from what they've imposed on these characters by the writers and developers there. Now, they claim the show is faithful to Scripture and careful to avoid theological or historical errors. But sometimes the biblical screen and adaptations are so concerned with pleasing everyone that they come across as lifeless. The Chosen understands that filling in these characters requires some speculation about the type of people they were, sketching out the details of their lives in a way that's consistent with but goes beyond what's said of them in Scripture. So they even acknowledge this goes beyond what was said of them. This goes beyond it. Well, how far do you go beyond it? I'm only concerned with this. I've already said, download the app and watch it. I'm not telling someone not to watch it. What I'm saying is we have a tendency to be more moved by a visual medium. So we watch this and we're Christians, we love the Bible. And without even thinking, the next time you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you're reading what you saw in The Chosen into the text. That's extremely dangerous. That is dangerous. I mean, they even acknowledge here, and this is someone promoting the show, supporting the show, is saying even acknowledging they go beyond what's said of them in Scripture. This is always the most controversial but necessary part of any movie, TV version of the Bible. Hey, it's controversial to do this, but it's necessary. Well, no, let me make it very clear. It's not necessary. Because it's not necessary that we make a movie or TV show about Jesus. That is not necessary. It's not commanded. So it's not necessary to do that. It's necessary to do that if you want to make a successful, emotionally engaging, and emotionally moving TV series about the Bible. That becomes the problem. To be successful and to make this moving, emotionally engaging show, how much do you have to add? And do Christians care? I don't know. Obviously, a lot do not. It says, the Chosen does an admirable job walking in the line between accuracy and watchability. So there's a fine line there between, it's got to be accurate, but it's got to be watchable. It's got to be accurate, but it's got to be watchable. So if we need to deviate a little bit from accuracy to increase the watchability, then that's okay, as long as we try to balance the both. What should be most important to you, accuracy or watchability? Now, obviously, if you want a successful TV show, it's got to be watchability. But from a theological, biblical perspective, I should be more concerned about accuracy. And let me make it very clear what my concern is, and I'm not even blaming the directors or the writers. I'm not blaming that. I'm blaming human nature. You watch it. Think about it. Watch it. Watch a movie that's based off a novel. Watch the movie. Then go read the novel. You're going to carry in to the reading of that book what you saw in the movie. How that carry, you're going to bring that in. You're going to picture in your mind what you saw in the movie. Well, when you watch The Chosen, maybe you watched it once, twice, three, four, five, 15 times, and you love it, you love it, you love it. From that point on, you're going to read it into the Bible. I guarantee you. Or at least put it this way. I can guarantee you it's a danger. I can't guarantee what you will do. I can guarantee you that it's a danger that you need to be aware of. All right? Next, The Chosen focuses on individual encounters with Christ. The first reason it's so successful is because it has compelling characters. The second is it has real emotion. Third, it focuses on individual encounters with Christ. The Chosen moved me on numerous occasions because it put me in the shoes of characters who encountered Christ and must come to a decision point about the meaning of their lives. Here's what they say. Again, they talk about how they moved them. Now, this is what in a lot of the emails I receive, it's all about how emotional the emotional reaction they had to it. And again, I'm like, so what's generating the emotion? Is it the accuracy or it's the watchability? What's creating this emotional interaction? Is it scripture or it's the adding to scripture, right? Now, they give some examples. I am rejected by others, the weary Samaritan woman tells Jesus at the well. I know, Jesus responds, but not by the Messiah. To see her countenance transform from despair to hope is beautiful. Likewise, it's compelling to watch the posture and vocation of Simon Peter transform when he responds to Christ's follow me call. It's agonizing to watch Nicodemus wrestle with the costs of discipleship as he, like Matthew the tax collector, ponders leaving his position of status and comfort to follow this controversial rebel rabbi. It's moving to witness Jesus comfort Simon's wife, Eden, who knows her life will be more difficult because of her husband's new fisher of men vocation. I see you, Jesus says to her, but also to everyone watching the show. Again, there's a lot of questions we could have there. And then next, effective style. Often biblical movie TV shows suffer because they have either no discernible aesthetic or one that is oddly old-fashioned or too rigid formal. The Chosen style is not groundbreaking, but it is contemporary and effective. Here are just a few examples of what the show does well aesthetically. Flashbacks. Whether in brief forays into the Old Testament to show the continuity of Christ's life and teaching with the Hebrew Scriptures, or in depicting the backstories of various characters, The Chosen effectively deploys flashbacks. So see, one of the things that makes it so watchable is it uses common techniques used in TV shows. All right, well, that's great. But are these flashbacks flashbacking to something, giving a flashback to something to develop the character that's nowhere found in Scripture? Then we have possible problems. They talk about that they also use things like silence. It's crazy how often Christian filmmakers fail to take advantage of quietness and scenes without words, ignoring the basic advice to show, don't tell. Thankfully, The Chosen doesn't fall into this trap and using imagery and action without a narrator to tell the story without over-reliance on words. A narrative breathing room. Jenkins wants The Chosen to be 8 seasons long, with season 8 entirely devoted to the crucifixion and season 7 entirely devoted to the crucifixion and season 8 devoted to what happens afterwards. This approach allows for narrative breathing room, which allows and makes for better drama. Instead of forcing years of narrative in a 2-hour span, The Chosen can devote an entire episode to 1 or 2 short scenes from the Bible. And I want you to realize that. They can devote an entire episode to 1 or 2 short scenes from the Bible. Just try to think about it. You got this one little short scene in the Bible that can be read in a couple of minutes, and that's going to turn into a full-blown episode. Now, how much embellishment, how much addition has to occur for you to take one small scene from the Bible and boom, expand it. Is that okay? It may be watchable. It may be great TV. It may be great drama. It may be moving. You may laugh. You may cry. What does it do to you the next time you read that same story in the Bible? They say the chosen is not perfect, and there's plenty one could quibble with, but I'm optimistic based on the promise of season one that the series will only get better from here. And that was written after season one, obviously, was released. And this article was written in 2020. Obviously, the show has grown in its popularity big time from there. I don't know. I will say this. Watch it. By all means, utilize it in any way you can to get people you know who may not read the Bible or who go to church to possibly watch it and then have very important biblical and theological discussions with them. By all means, use any tool that's out there. I would warn you to be very careful that you don't allow what you watch to then breed it back into the Bible. Hey, this disciple was on the spectrum for autism, and this one was a poor dancer, and this one was a knucklehead. That's how I see these characters now. No, you draw your conclusion about the characters for what's found in the scriptures. You know, this whole concept that we used to believe in the Protestant world, sola scriptura, scripture alone. I know that that's a crazy concept that's really outdated in 2021, but maybe we should be very careful here. Now, by all means, use it. By all means, watch it. But remember, it's the scriptures that are authoritative, not the chosen. The chosen doesn't tell the story. The chosen takes the story and embellishes the story, adds to the story, uses the story to make a good TV show that's watchable, that's emotionally engaging. We have to focus right here on the scriptures. Now, pastors have been guilty of this as well, that we take these narratives, and then when we're telling the story, when we're preaching the story, we fill in the gaps. We add emotion. And sometimes as a preacher, I have to stop myself and go, wait a minute, did I give an accurate description of what that said, or did I turn it into storytelling time to make it dramatic and funny? And pastors will do that. When we preach these stories, we will add humor. We will do that. And sometimes I have to ask myself, did we go too far? How far can I tell these stories and add my own little spin on it, my own little storytelling style, before I create an image of the story that may not actually be biblical? I don't know. That's the reasons they believe it worked. They believe it works because, number one, compelling characters. Number two, real emotion. Number three, it focuses on individual encounters with Christ. And number four, effective style. That's what they think makes it work. I want to make it very clear. All of those elements that make it work, basically the same kind of elements that make any TV show works. What do I mean by that? Well, compelling characters. TV shows work because of compelling characters. Real emotion. The shows have to create emotion, right? You have to emotionally resonate with the characters. You have to see real emotion on the screen, right? That's just basic TV movie making. Number three, focus on individual encounters with Christ. Okay, well here, this would be somewhat unique to this because it's focusing on these people's encounters with Christ. But in other words, it's focusing on these individual characters and their encounter, their emotion, what happened to them, their tragedy, their redemption, their victory, their defeat, their struggle. It's the same kind of concept used in all kinds of TV shows. It's using these people's personal encounters and what happened to them. And then effective style, that's just like any TV show. So can we say that what makes The Chosen so effective and so popular has very little to do with the subject matter, very little to do with its closeness to scripture, but that it borrowed from all of the effective storytelling techniques used in Hollywood, and they're just using it for the story on Jesus, and therefore it's being effective. Now, maybe that's being too cynical. Maybe. But it's questions that I have to ask. But I would beg you, as Christians, I would beg you on this one thing. Be careful when you contact someone who teaches the Bible. Like, have you seen The Chosen? Like, you've got to see this. This is like the most amazing thing, because you have to realize it's got to come. It comes across kind of like, wait a minute. You're acting like that this is telling a story that I've never heard before. I do know the story of the Bible. I'm very aware of it. So what makes this like, I've got to see this. Like, if I miss this, I'm in trouble. Like, if I miss this, I'm not going to be able to sit at the cool table. It's like, no, if I miss this, I just miss the story of Jesus that I have right here. And my Bible, and I read it, 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 and I read it. Could it be interesting? Absolutely. Could it be? And not everyone who emailed me came the same way. Let's make it very clear. But I'm saying, I got so many emails like, you know, this is the greatest thing ever. You've got to see this. Like, you know, like they just discovered some brand new epiphany, some new revelation. And I'm kind of like, it's just a story of the Bible. Or is it? Or is it? The only danger that I would really, I've got to stress this. I got to repeat this. I know I repeat some things on purpose. Sometimes I do things out of habit, but this one I'm doing specifically on purpose. I don't care how much you love The Chosen. I don't care how much you watch it. I don't care how much of an evangelist you are for it. I'm not here to condemn that or even challenge that, but I will challenge you on this. Be very, very careful. The next time you pick up the New Testament, you don't find yourself, at least in your mind, that you're viewing these characters based off what you saw on The Chosen, not what you're seeing in the text. We must maintain a sola scriptura mindset, which is scripture alone. If this show gets you back into the scriptures, get your passion for the scriptures, that's wonderful. If you can use this show to get other people talking about the scriptures and get people to study the Bible, amazing, awesome. I pray God will use it. I've got some questions about it. I'm a little skeptical. I have some problems, because I guarantee you, one of the reasons I've tried to avoid watching it, because I know what would happen, right? And I think I've already had one email encounter with someone like this, and I know I could just feel that they were so disappointed, because it's like, hey, they found this new thing and they want me to be excited about it. And I know it's a no-win situation for me. It's no win. If I watch it, here's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be like, well, wait a minute, that's not in the Bible. Wait, there's nothing in the Bible that says they said that. Wait, how do they know that was his attitude here? Wait, they just added an entire emotional motivation here that changes my entire interpretation of that text. I'm going to be looking at it from an exegetical, theological perspective. And what some Christians will say is, oh man, you're being too picky. You're being nitpicky. You're being like a Pharisee. You're like, no. I'm just trying to say, like, when I watch this, I've got to see it through scripture, right? Because this is about the Bible. This is just not I don't do that with every TV show going, oh, look, that's not theological and that's not biblical and that's ungodly. No, I watch it. But when I'm watching something that's about the Bible, I'm going to be very picky. I'm going to be like, wait a minute. They just made Simon Peter act like that was his reason for doing that. The Bible doesn't tell me his reason for doing it. The Bible doesn't give me that emotion. The Bible doesn't explain it. So now if I'm not careful, I'm going to now view the reason we talked about, for example, this morning. We did a Bible study exercise for the morning sermon. I just decided to turn the morning sermon into a Bible study exercise instead of do it as a sermon. And we worked through Isaiah 7. Well, in Isaiah chapter 7, we have King Ahaz, and he decides that God says, hey, ask a sign and I'll give you a sign anywhere you want it, heaven, earth, wherever you want it. And he's like, nope, I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't want to tempt the Lord. And you have to go, well, what caused him to do that? Now, we can speculate, right? But we can only speculate with the text. So what do I know? Well, I know if I read about King Ahaz, he was messed up. So there's a good chance that he wasn't being so spiritual in his reasons for denying a sign. There could have been another, maybe more ungodly reason. Now, there we can do a little speculation, but it's the speculation that arises from the text. I can go read everything about Ahaz in the Bible, and I can go, whoa, he was messed up. So what would lead me to think that he became so super spiritual right here when he denied a sign that God was going to give him? Why would I all of a sudden assign a super spiritual motive when the rest of the Bible would give me? See, now I can speculate, but it comes from the scriptures. But if the scriptures are completely silent on someone's reasoning, we have no idea why they did what they did. The Bible doesn't even hint at it. Then I got to be very careful if I watch a show that seems to say, here's the reason, here's the motivation, here's the emotion. I got to be very careful not to take that and then read it into the Bible. That is a danger. And I think that everyone should be at least aware of that danger. And you can't get upset if someone watches it and like, wait a minute, that conversation never happened. Well, he said, well, it could have. Well, saying it could have is ridiculous. Well, I could go throughout the Bible. Oh, well, it could have been this way. It could have been this way. It could have been this way. So that means we don't know anything. No, we can only go with what the scriptures say. And all of that adding and adding and adding. Look, if you're going to take one or two scenes from the Bible and create an entire episode, there is some possible danger there. And I don't think that's being critical, pharisaical. That's not being anything but being like, there's something here. It's great. It's great that they find actors that had correct ethnicity. There we go. Correct ethnicity and correct accents. That's wonderful. That's great. Praise God. It's great that they have tried to make this into a very well done, well produced TV show. That is great. But the theological concern, it's great that they found all the correct elements that make a good TV show, and they utilize them. And now this is something Christians can look at and not be embarrassed by and say, look, this meets all of the standards of good television. That's wonderful. We can be proud of that. But we've got to be very careful that we're not so worried about looking like we make good TV shows in the eyes of the world if it has any detriment to how people interpret scripture. Just some thoughts. Just some thoughts. And I hope, there's so much more I wish I could say, but we're at 58 minutes. This wasn't supposed to go an hour. This is supposed to be a quick, my original plan here, I'm just going to be on. My original plan was, hey guys, I don't know if you know, December the 1st, The Chosen's coming to movie theaters. It's selling a lot of tickets. It's being very popular. Why do you think it's popular? Let me know at newsif@yahoo.com. That was literally the plan. And then right before I went live, I decided to look up an article about why is it so popular. I thought, I'll just reference it maybe once or twice. And then it turned into 57 minutes and 35 seconds of talking about this and realizing that ethnicity, for some reason, is a word that I cannot speak correctly today. The ethnicity, the correct ethnicity, because I want to keep saying they were very authentic. There was true authenticity to the actors they chose. But for some reason, ethnicity, authenticity, I don't know. I don't know why. I keep mixing those two words together. Sometimes it happens. All right. So in spite of my failures, I hope I've given you much to think about. Please don't email me and get mad, acting like that I bashed your favorite TV show, because I'm not. I'm not telling people not to watch it. I want people to watch it, but I want people to take these theological. Look, this is Theology Central. Right? Let me get very clear. Sometimes people email me, and I sometimes want to email back and go, did you look at the name of the podcast? Okay. Did you catch on? Did you miss that? Right? I have to make Theology Central, and shouldn't we want theology? Scripture to be central to a show about the Bible, right? Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? I think we should. So enjoy it. Watch it. Have a great time. Just think about some of the things I've offered up, some of the questions I've raised. And you can ask yourself, how much liberty do we have with the text of Scripture? How far can we go to depart from Scripture to make a TV show that's supposed to be about what the Scriptures talk about? How far can you deviate before you end up with something other? And then how does that impact when people pick up a Bible later? But if you can use it to get your friends and family to start talking about Jesus, go for it. Just remember, At some point, you got to get them away from the chosen, and you got to get them into actually reading and studying the Bible, and you've got to then purge out what they saw from the chosen out of their brains and get them to actually read and study the text and observe what the text says, not what the chosen told them was there, which can be a problem. But please use it, all right, and watch it. And if you watch it, I would love to know. I would like to get your thoughts. NewsIF@yahoo.com. NewsIF@yahoo.com. I know some of you absolutely love the show. That's wonderful. I hope you enjoy when you go to the theater and watch it. I'm sure that you've already bought your tickets. You can tell me all about it. And I mean that. I'm not in any way being sarcastic. I want to hear about how much you loved it. If you take your family, let me know what they thought about it. If you've watched it in your church, what does people in your church think about it? I would just love to get, I like to hear what people are saying. I know my perspective. Maybe he's like, oh, you know, it sounds like the old guy saying, get off my yard. Okay, it's not that. I'm just trying to look at it from a more theological perspective. So maybe I can take your, maybe if you'll take my perspective, mix it with your love for the show, maybe you'll find a biblical balance there where you can enjoy it yet be protected from being manipulated or it hurting how you read the scriptures. That's all I'm trying to do, is trying to balance it out, because the enthusiasm for it is pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. All right. I'll stop right there. Email me, newsif@yahoo.com. Newsif@yahoo.com. That's newsif@yahoo.com. All right. Everyone have a great day. I'll be back on the air here shortly. God bless.